To 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley, Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are People Powered Radio in Northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, an independent space that was created to turn up the volume of women, non-binary, and gender-expansive voices in song and conversation. It's a show that amplifies and multiplies those voices that are still not heard in equal numbers to give you an hour of radio unlike any other, created, hosted, produced, engineered, and powered by women. And thanks to radio stations like this one that bring you She Rose Radio each week, we get together for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities. To quote bell hooks, feminism is for everybody. This is She Rose Radio, and this radio revolution starts now.
chaud, j'ai froid.
De partir n'importe où, bras dessus, bras dessous, en chantant des chansons. C'est si bon de se dire des mots doux, de petits rien du tout, mais qui en disent en langue, en voyant notre mine ravie. Les passants dans la rue nous envient. C'est si bon de guetter dans ses yeux une esprit merveilleux qui donnait le frisson. C'est si bon, ces petites sensations ça vaut mieux que millions. C'est tellement, tellement bon.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
C'est bon,
c'est bon.
Voilà, c'est bon.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
Les passants dans la rue.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
Bras dessus, bras dessus.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
En chantant des chansons.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
Quel esprit merveilleux.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
C'est bon.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
Je cherche un millionnaire.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
Avec des.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
Rang Cadillac car.
C'est bon.
Mink coats.
C'est bon. C'est bon.
Des bijoux jusqu'au cou,
c'est
tu
bon,
sais.
C'est bon.
C'est bon.
C'est bon.
Ces petites sensations.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
Peut-être
c'est bon.
Quelqu'un avec un petit yacht,
c'est bon,
non? Oh,
c'est bon.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
Vous
savez bien que j'attendrai quelqu'un qui pourrait m'apporter beaucoup de loot. Ce soir, demain, la semaine prochaine, n'importe quand.
C'est bon,
si bon.
C'est bon.
Il sera très
c'est bon.
Crazy, non?
C'est bon. C'est bon.
Voilà, c'était.
Earth Kitt, born January 17th, 1927. That's one of her signature tunes, C'est si bon on Shiro's Radio. And she shares a birthday with French singer-songwriter, actress, and author Françoise Hardy, who passed away just a couple of years ago in 2024 at the age of 80. We went back to her 1962 debut album for that one, Oh, Oh, Chérie. Welcome to the Shiro's Radio Hour, my friends. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. So great to see you as always. Together, we'll turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation. And before we get into what's coming up this hour, a reminder that we are a tiny feminist, 100% independent production that relies on the support of our affiliates and listeners like you. Text Shiro's to 53555 or visit shirosradio.com to make a tax-deductible donation through our nonprofit partner, AIR, to support independent, femme and queer-produced radio and conversations like the one that you're going to hear later this hour with singer, songwriter, and poet Courtney Marie Andrews, who returns to Shiro's this week to celebrate the release of her 10th album,
Valentine.
That's coming up in the second part of the show, so I hope that you can stay with us. Right now, sending big birthday wishes out to Dolly Parton, who turns 80 on Monday, January 19th. This is a song that Dolly's often called her favorite of all the songs that she's written, and it tells a story of how her mother stitched together a coat for her daughter out of rags given to the family.
Again, back to the seasons of my youth, I recall a box of rags that someone gave us, and how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors, but every piece was small, and I didn't have a coat, and it was way down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, so in every piece with love, she made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told a story from the Bible she had read about a coat of many colors Joseph wore, and then she said, perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness. Couldn't wait to wear it, and Mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, why, was rich as I could be, in my coat of many colors my mama made for me. On my breeches and holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors, I hurried off to school just to find the others laughing and making fun of me. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me, and oh, I couldn't understand it, for I felt I was rich, and I told them all the love my mama sewed in every stitch. And I told them all the story mama told me why she sewed, and how my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. But they didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see that one is only poor, only if they choose to be. But I was rich as I could be, in my coat of many colors my mama made for me, made just for me.
Happy 39th birthday to Angel Olsen, Thursday, January 22nd, the title track to her last album, 2022's Big Time on She Rose Radio, and the title track to Coat of Many Colors, an autobiographical song by Dolly Parton from her eighth album, released in 1971 when Dolly was just 25 years old. Wishing Dolly a very happy 80th birthday, Monday, January 19th. I'm Carmel Holt. Next up, we welcome back Courtney Marie Andrews to the She Rose Spotlight to celebrate her brand new album, Valentine. That conversation coming up after the break. Stay with us.
We will get you right back to more from She Rose Radio here on People Powered KAXE. I'm Malachi Coons. We receive support from Bridget's Irish Pub, located in downtown Bemidji, serving Irish and American food, offering Monday night trivia at 6:30 and open mic night on Thursday, also at 6:30. More on Facebook. KBXE presents Ski Palooza at Three Island Park in Bemidji, Saturday, January 24th from noon to 3. Come cross-country ski, snowshoe, fat tire bike, play music, or just swap stories around the fire. Bring a snack to share. You can find information about food-related resources at kaxe.org across northern Minnesota, with hours of operation and locations of food shelves, along with information on soup kitchens and community meals. Add resources in your region by emailing news@kaxe.org. Now back to She Rose.
You're listening to She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. Last time, Phoenix-born, Nashville-based artist Courtney Marie Andrews visited us here on She Rose. We were celebrating the release of her critically hailed ninth album, Loose Future. And both the sound of that album and its title evoked a sense of openness, possibility, and if taken literally, maybe a self-fulfilling prophecy. Courtney Marie Andrews began playing guitar in her early teens and performing by the time that she was 15. At 19, she started working with the band Jimmy Eat World. And from 2010 to 2011, she became an auxiliary member of the band, appearing on their studio album Invented and touring with them as their keyboardist and backing vocalist. After that, she was a touring guitarist for Damian Jurado, and all the while she was writing, recording, and releasing her own music. The turning point of Courtney's career came in 2016 with her sixth album, Honest Life. And over the course of the last decade, her work has been critically hailed and award nominated. May Your Kindness Remain was released in 2018, and 2020's Old Flowers earned a Grammy nod for Best Americana Album. Loose Future saw Courtney Marie Andrews tapping into her musical knowledge, roots, and influences that were way more expansive than just the folk Americana genre that the previous three albums had led newcomers to categorize her as. We can no more place Courtney in a box of musical genre than we can limit her artistry to music alone. She's also a painter and a published author of two books of poetry. Her second book, Love is a Dog That Bites When It's Scared, was just released in August of 2025. And this week we celebrate the arrival of her 10th studio album, Valentine. Once again, we discover her creativity flourishing and expanding with her fearlessness. I'm so thrilled to welcome back Courtney Marie Andrews as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. Welcome back to Shiro's Courtney Marie Andrews.
Yay! Great to see you again.
I'm so happy to have you here and on such a happy occasion of your 10th album. What the heck? So the last time I caught up with you was 2022 for Loose Future. How did Loose Future lead to Valentine? Like, what was the connecting tissue there?
You know, I would say that more and more been interested in creating sounds that are interesting to me, or not trying to make the same record over and over again. But as far as like the actual content of the lyrics, couldn't be any more different mindset that I was in making both records. You know, I was sort of like in this freedom place in my life when I was making Loose Future. And then obviously it just had to all come crumbling down as the first track of the record talks about, Pendulum Swing. It's sort of like a, oh, things were good for a long time, and then they have to balance out. These two records were made in very different seasons in my life.
And you started off by saying that the connective tissue was getting more and more free sonically, right?
Mm.
And then you said, but this is very different lyrically because I was in a very free place then, but the exploration continued.
Yeah. In that way, I think the record becomes this more defiant thing, this confidence that I think one can only gain by growing older. It's just this thing that all happens to us. We're like, actually, this is me, and that's fine, you know?
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Since you've already sort of set up Pendulum Swing, anything else you want to tell us before we get into the song? Set the scene, maybe what we could envision as this album opens up.
Well, we, by coincidence, recorded it at Valentine Recording Studios in LA, which was really quite hilarious and coincidental. And we recorded it in 10 short days to 16-track tape. And it was pretty much just Jerry and I playing all the instruments. So it was a whirlwind of chaos to make this record, but it was worth it, I'd say.
Man, I love
That's Pendulum Swing, track number one from the Courtney Marie Andrews album, Valentine, her 10th studio release. She's our guest today on She Rows, and I'm Carmel Holt. I was going to ask, which came first, the name of the record, or did you get the name of the record from being in Valentine Studios? And you said it was a coincidence, and that's wild.
Yeah, it was definitely pretty wild. It was just like this word crept up, and not very long after, we met up with this engineer that we just knew had to engineer the record. And he was like, I know this great studio. It's still kind of up and coming, but it's been around for a long time. It's called Valentine. And I was like, are you kidding me? And then last day of recording, kid you not, walking down to get coffee in Los Feliz. And this person oddly had a box of Hot Wheel cars in their yard to give away for free. And I was like, I'll grab one of these gross Hot Wheel cars, picked it up, and it was a VW Bug, and it said Valentine across the door. And I was like, it's Valentine. It's got to be Valentine. If that's not a true sign, then nothing is.
And Valentine, like the word, doesn't show up anywhere on the album either.
Yeah, it's the first record that I haven't had a word from a song or a title be the title. But it just felt right. And the reason is it weirdly has this sort of like dark undertone to it, which I felt like the record was. It's maybe sounds up in some ways, but it always has a sort of like dark undertone. And also it's the symbol of love. It's this really shallow thing that you're given, but something that you throw away.
Yeah.
And during that time, I was like, that's love. And actually, while making it, while writing it, while playing it, while listening to it back, I was like, actually, love is so much more than that. It's something that's built over years. It's something that is gained with trust. It's not actually this shallow thing you receive. And so the Valentine was just like the symbol of like what I thought love was when I was younger and something that I was desperate to have, but it's so much more.
Right. There's a little bit of loss of innocence kind of a thing, right?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the story of writing the songs for Valentine?
Well, this is honestly during this period is probably one of my most potent creative times in my life. But it was also at the same time, I mean, maybe this definitely happens to a lot of people, I think, but it was sort of like the death of an era in a lot of ways. You know, a family member of mine was given a terminal diagnosis, and I was the only person available to caretake for them.
Wow.
And so I was dealing with this person who I grew up with, their imminent death, while also starting a very rocky new relationship that was not sure. And it was just this sort of reckoning with my past and maybe this person that had led me to these patterns, while also like experiencing the birth of this new thing and reckoning with like what has led me to these patterns of like what's not okay, you know? And right. So the record is that actually in like order. It's like I'm falling in love, and by side B, it's like everything's falling apart and I'm reckoning with why, you know? Best Friend was written about my 7-year-old self, and Outsider was written about this kind of like intense loneliness I've felt, or outsiderness I felt a lot of my life. So yeah, that, sorry if I explained too much, but that's, that's.
No, it's a beautiful explanation. And it also helps to give more context and framework to the album, which when you said, you know, side A and side B, very two distinct halves of the record, you can tell that. Like this album is really an album in that it's meant, I think, to be listened to from track 1 to track 10, you know, even if you're not listening on vinyl. And you can feel that at Little Picture of a Butterfly, that this is kind of an apex moment.
Yeah. You know, it's funny how when you write songs and make these things that you don't even realize sometimes what you're doing.
Right.
And subconsciously, and then you listen back and you're like, well, that is, you kind of can apply meaning to it in this strange way. And in Little Picture of a Butterfly, there's like this sort of meditation almost in the beginning and in the very end. We just, when I recorded that take, I didn't know really what I was doing when I was going to end it, but I just kept going on the organ. I was just like, I'm just going to keep going. And what I realized was that, you know, subconsciously, I was actually like meditating in this way, meditating on this like realization, like this possible goodbye and what goodbye means to me. And then it sort of ends in this jam of flutes and strange sounds and pianos and the organ. And yeah, it's so interesting how that can happen when you're making a record, when you're making a song, that you're subconsciously letting this music tell the story.
I think I'd love to play a little bit of Little Picture of a Butterfly. Should we go to that second half end of the song, or should we play more of the beginning? Guide us.
Maybe like the beginning into when it hits the moment of realization, the sort of like underbelly slow part, and then when the drums kick in, it feels like you're kind of like waking up, and that's sort of the feeling I had when writing the song.
After all that time went by, all I get is a butterfly. Little picture of a butterfly. Guess that's your funny way of saying goodbye. Soulmates, what a pretty thought. But you either do. No.
this little picture of a butterfly. It's the halfway point of Courtney Marie Andrews' incredible new album, Valentine, her 10th studio release. She is our guest today on Shiro's, and I'm Carmel Holt. You mentioned the flutes and some of the instrumentation going in, and I wanted to talk about that. I know that flute was something that you hadn't played, right, since you were a kid. Like, how did that come back in and how did that feel, especially in the context of what we've been talking about, of recognizing patterns and revisiting childhood stuff?
Yeah. You know, the past few years I've like leaned into this Picasso quote, which I'm paraphrasing because he actually says the name of a painter that I can't remember. But he says, "It took me 4 years to paint like the great painter and a lifetime to paint like a child." And I think so much of why I paint and got into poetry is to feel childlike again about art and to not be so honed in. And so when I pulled out my flute, which, by the way, I hated playing flute in the fifth grade. It was not the instrument I wanted to play. It was the only instrument my mother could find for a cheap cost at a pawn shop. And so that's the instrument I got. I wanted to play the fiddle. The violin, that was my dream, but I got the flute and I had to learn the flute. And I ended up being second chair, but I would pass out because it would make me very dizzy when I played it because I didn't have the right technique.
Breath, yeah.
But anyway, I pulled it out as a sort of joke, like, oh, well, we don't know what's going to go here. Let's do flute. Let's see what happens. And we ended up loving it. And I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. And that was so fun. I was just like seeing what happened if I blew a couple notes in different positions, you know, but truly had not played the instrument since I was in fifth grade. And so it was kind of just this like fun, freeing, like as we're going into the exploration of these patterns of my childhood, of my child self, yeah. I'm going to play something that I had to play as a kid. And it was just kind of this fun, like, accidental thing.
And you put it on tape. I mean, like, that's the coolest thing about this is, like, it wasn't just, like, a lark that you did at a party or by yourself or whatever, or even just to test it out and then put it away. You committed to it.
I committed, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the more I played it, the more I was like, this is so fun and hilarious. And I don't know. It's just, it felt very fun and freeing, which I think is ultimately what we're always like. It's why we record a tape. Like, right. How can we get more free in our mistakes, in our like imperfections? Yeah.
Loose Future sort of marked this newfound sonic freedom exploration for you. And this is building on that. What do you think that you took from that and carried into Valentine, and what new areas or what new horizons did you find or explore on this record?
Well, when I made Loose Future with Sam Evian, we had so much time to play and to think about what sounds we wanted to exist. And I think ultimately I realized, like, in the beginning of my career, I was all about finding weird sounds. I was kind of more interested in that than the more I got into, you know, these traditional records, that these great songwriter records, I kind of put that down for a minute. And so when I was working with Sam, it was like I actually unlocked this like younger version of myself who was into punk and who was into alternative DIY music and who was kind of into like the more arty version of things. And so Sam, he's such a kind soul and no idea is turned down. And I think that sort of was really healing to be around that energy and then kind of just carried that on into Valentine. And Jerry is the same way. It's like no ideas off the table. Actually, the weirdest ideas are the most welcome. And I think that that is just super, super exciting.
How much of your limits on yourself or fitting into molds do you associate with your gender? Like, do you think there was slash is any part of the music making to find the freedom to reconnect with that and the difficulty in kind of getting back to that? Does any of that strike a chord in you when I throw in the word gender?
Oh, I mean, I would say that the reason it took me so long to, in my 20s, which wasn't a long time, but for me it was, for as long as I'd been doing it, it was a long time. The reason it took me so long is because of how many difficult run-ins I had with that, with being taken advantage of, and also maybe even being like exploited or something, or not being taken seriously enough because you're a girl, you can't do this. And it took all of those things happening in my 20s, all these different like hardships regarding that exact thing, to say, you know what, I'm producing a record myself and I'm making it myself on my own terms. And that record ended up being a record I made called Honest Life, which ended up allowing me to make a career. You know, I was a bartender, I was a backup singer when I got the opportunity, but I was really just like struggling to get by and not able to do what I wanted to do, which was make records full time. And so, yes, absolutely. I mean, it took, I would say, 8 years of me like battling this sort of thing in so many different ways to say, I'm doing it on my own terms, basically.
Is there anything that you would feel comfortable elaborating on, like in what areas you came up against that?
I signed a really predatory record deal when I was a kid with kind of a very scary older man that I had to get out of. Had to get out of that deal. And then I just had a lot of people, you know, older male producers try and make me into the next pop sensation or whatever, that sort of thing, you know, and I didn't have enough confidence at that time. I had enough confidence to say no, that I don't want to do that, but I didn't have enough confidence to be like, I could do it on my own until I did. Until I had enough and I was like, I'm just going to do it. And so, yeah, especially as a younger woman, I feel so much empathy for that. And especially at that time, you know, it was like pre-Me Too. None of these conversations were really being had. And if they were, you were anonymous, you know?
Right.
So it was, yeah, I struggled with that a lot. And I'm actually grateful for it because in a way, I don't think I would have had the confidence or the, I shouldn't say I'm grateful for it, but I'm glad that I was strong enough to sort of understand what was happening eventually, you know? Yeah. I don't think everybody has that, but I'm glad that I was and that I made the records. I kept my integrity in place and, you know, it's like the Lucinda Williams line, take the glory any day over the fame.
Yes.
And I'm super glad that I did that. But yeah, it was, there was a lot of that in that time. And there still is, unfortunately.
So in that decade between Honest Life and Valentine, how would you say things have progressed? Mm. And how would you say things have still remained a challenge or a struggle?
Well,
as a woman,
when I was a backup singer at 19, I'd play these festivals and I could count on both hands how many women I would see in either the background, like the crew, or on stage. And I was one of those women. And now I will say that that has changed quite immensely, which is amazing. And obviously, certain genres of music are better than others for that change.
Right.
But it has changed. I do believe that. Because when I was playing these festivals, I mean, there were hardly any women. I remember seeing Portishead, and it made such a mark on me. Yeah. I saw Portishead and Beyonce at some of these festivals. And Beyonce had an all-female band at that time, so obviously that day was different. But I remember being like, that is revolutionary. There's an all-girl band backing Beyonce. So it was like 2010. I never forgot that. I never forgot how amazing that was. And so I would say that has changed. There's just more women being represented in a public-facing thing, festivals and record labels aren't like, you know, when I was making music back then, which wasn't even that long ago, but it's crazy how much things have changed. It'd be like, oh, well, Courtney, we can't sign you because we just signed a girl. That was real. That happened all the time. And so I guess overall, just representation and so many more like sound women. Like we did a tour 2 years ago and every venue we had a female front of house. And I was like, this never happened. Like it was amazing. And so, yeah, I just think that that is the main thing I've seen change. And obviously like country radio's primarily still men. And obviously there's, like I said, some genres that are not great for it, but overall just a lot more women being represented in all the roles.
Yeah, that is so good to hear. And definitely I'm so happy to hear the great progress report on women in tech too, because we're going to do the Shiro's Magic Wand Wish at the end where you get to make a wish about what to change in the industry. And in large part, people come to the show and when they get that question say, I'd like to see more women behind the boards. I'd like to see more women producers. More women producers. I don't know what, like we are so stuck. So I don't know why.
That is one that is not really shifted. Obviously, there's a couple great ones, but like really engineers and producers are still quite lacking in that department.
Yeah. So we definitely have some work to do there. How about for yourself personally? Is there anything for you that you feel like is still a work in progress when it comes to your gender and doing this job?
I think that there are still covert ways that this is manifesting.
So it's more on a subtle level than like overt things.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously there's still crazy things that get said every day. You know, this is all generalizations in my opinion, but I think that I have not seen yet a great female artist or writer blow up in a way that some of these male artists have in a crazy way. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that is, but it's like, you don't see very many females like playing stadiums all of a sudden overnight, which is happening again and again with male artists. And I don't know why, other than that maybe we still haven't gotten to the place that we need to as a society.
Right.
Because I don't think it's talent. I don't think that's it. I think women are writing the best songs right now, but it's just still kind of like this weird covert thing where maybe it's just we haven't shed that thing. Like it's happening on like an active level in the industry, but it's not happening on a fan level, I guess, yet. And I think there are a lot of fans that are supporting great female artists, but not in this like huge popular way. I can't really think of one that's an artist or a writer that's blown up like a Zach Bryan has, for instance, or something, which is no, you know, shade to anybody who has. It's just interesting to me that females haven't experienced that yet.
Right, unless you're in the pop genre.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Which typically requires you to look very beautiful.
Hypersexualized.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Courtney, it's been amazing to have you. If I could hand you a Shiro's magic wand, first wave of the wand, you could change anything in the music industry for women, for non-binary folks, for queer folks, for anybody that doesn't have an equal voice or an equal platform yet, what would you change?
I would make it so that every one of these people who are trying to survive just doing their art, that they could do it. I don't know what that would mean, but all the other stuff comes and goes. But if you can just be an artist and be free to be an artist without worry, that's the best thing that can happen.
May it be so. Yeah. Courtney Marie Andrews, thank you for being with us. Thanks for coming back. It's always so great to have you here. Man, how do we go out today? What song feels good to go out
Have we already
today?
Played Everyone Wants to Feel Like You Do? Did we already do that one?
I
nope.
don't think so.
We'll go with that one.
You're not sorry for the music. You're not sorry for what's fair. You're not sorry for the space you take. You're not sorry for yourself.
with thanks once again to Courtney Marie Andrews. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Massive thanks to Courtney Marie Andrews for being with us. Her 10th album, Valentine, is available now. Today's conversation has been condensed and edited for broadcast. To hear the complete interview, download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Next, we close the hour with a birthday salute to Cat Power and Janis Joplin when She Rose Radio continues.
Stepping away one more time from She Rose Radio, I'm Malachi Coons with KAXE. We receive support from the Keg and Cork in downtown Bemidji, an Irish pub serving the area since 1974. Kitchen open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. More at kegbemidji.com. Keep an eye on the thermometer and tune in for Stay Human this weekend for winter survival strategies. John Latimer tells us how some frogs freeze solid, Susie Loeffler on Snow People, plus more cold snap stories with great music, too. Stay Human airs Saturday morning at 9 or Sunday at 5 p.m. Minnesota State Parks offer free admission Monday, January 19th. There are 75 parks and recreation areas across the state, so you can visit an old favorite or explore somewhere new. Now more from She Rose here on KAXE.
It's She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. Two more birthdays to celebrate this week, and we're going to mark them with one song sung by birthday girl Shawn Marshall, a.k.a. Cat Power, who's 54 on Wednesday, January 21st, just a couple days before she puts out her new EP, Redux, part of the 20th anniversary celebration of her album, The Greatest. The follow-up to The Greatest was her second album of covers called Jukebox, and on it, she paid tribute to another She-Ro, Janis Joplin, who would have been 83 this week on the 19th. Here's Woman Left Lonely.
Onward, she does the best.
Aretha on Shiro's following up Cat Power's cover of the Janis Joplin song Woman Left Lonely. Both Shiro's have birthdays this week. Janis would have been 83 on Monday, and we sent birthday wishes to Sean Marshall for her 54th on Wednesday. By the way, just a couple days later, she'll release the EP Redux as she readies her tour in celebration of the 20th anniversary of her album, The Greatest. That does it for this week's edition of Shiro's Radio. Thank you, as always, for tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. Shiro's Radio is produced by me, is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. Download and subscribe to the Shiro's podcast and to our YouTube channel, Shiro's Productions. Shiro's is 100% independent, and that's made possible through the support of our public radio affiliates and and now listeners just like you. Through a partnership with a nonprofit, AIR, the Association of Independents in Radio, we have an ongoing fundraising campaign, and we're asking you to text SHEROES to 53555. That's SHEROES to 53555 to make a tax-deductible donation through AIR, or you can visit SHEROESradio.com. Thank you for supporting our work, and until next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks for listening.
This is 91.